You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Fenway Rundown, the premier podcast for all things Boston Red Sox.
You know, people harp on the last place thing, but essentially what's important is the record.
If the Red Sox want people to start thinking the ownership cares, then maybe they should talk.
This is the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live. Here are your hosts, Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam.
Third Fenway Rundown of the week here from Fort Myers. I'm Chris Cotillo with co-host Sean McAdam and another player guest, and a pretty big one this week. Lucas Giolito joins us today for about a 20-minute conversation. Newest Red Sox free agent signing. We have plenty of coverage on the site, on the pod. This is the third one of the week. You heard Kenley Jansen the other day, and our Fenway Rundown Insider Text program. Sean, how do you join that?
It's pretty simple, Chris. Just text the word join to 617-751-6257 and then click on the link and subscribe. That comes with a free 14-day trial period, after which you'll be charged $4.99 a month, a chance to stay current on all Red Sox news in and out of season, to communicate with all of us here at Mass Live, myself, Chris Cotillo, and Chris Smith, and occasionally provide some questions for the pod itself.
Lucas Giolito is here. We got into a lot with him, free agent process, early impressions of the Red Sox, and some Seinfeld connections, which were near and dear to the hearts of McAdam and myself. Back at Fenway South with another Fenway Rundown. Chris Cotillo, Sean McAdam here with Lucas Giolito, one of the newest members of the Red Sox. I know it's been a few months since you signed, but only a couple weeks in uniform here. Getting to know the organization, being around the guys, just your first impressions of the whole experience.
Yeah, I think it's been great so far. I feel like I'm settling in very nicely. The guys are very welcoming, kind of top to bottom, from the front office all the way down to the players. It's a good group of guys in the clubhouse for sure. I knew a few of them beforehand already. You know, I got my locker right next to Nicky P, who we go way back with the Nationals organization. So, you know, able to kind of like get in and get to know all these guys. It's been fun.
Lucas, I know that you've had experience with a number of different organizations, but in terms of spring training, it's mostly the White Sox, where you spent a number of seasons. This is a comparatively new pitching program here with a new pitching coach, a new director of pitching. Wondering if you would compare what that program and environment is like versus what you've been used to with Chicago over the years.
I'd say that the program here, it's all about development. I think it was just said today in our meeting, like, the development doesn't stop at AAA. We get to the big leagues, like, we still have a huge team. You want to get a pitch better, you know, you feel something mechanically off, like, go in, talk to these guys. But at the same time, there's like respect for kind of how everyone works, which I appreciate. The communication level is extremely high. If you want to go in and look at all the skeletons and biomechanics and study analytics, like, there are guys for that. If you prefer not to, then, you know, maybe it's communicated to Bailey, and then he comes to us with whatever suggestion. So it really can be catered to every individual player, because we're all unique and different. It's been really great.
You talked about this on the intro Zoom call, but, you know, with the way your contract is structured, as well as just where your career is at right now, how big is this year for you to bounce back and show the league what you can do after the last couple?
Yeah, I think it's hugely important. I've shown throughout my career I can stay healthy and throw innings, but the quality innings is where it really counts. So, you know, last year kind of became disastrous the last couple months of the year. So went into the off season with a few things in mind to improve. And I feel like I made very large steps in the off season. But now that I'm here and, you know, these guys are all working with me, eyes are on me, you know, we're able to continue to hone in more and more and more, kind of win each day, make adjustments. And it's got me feeling very good at this point. Excited to start pitching games here soon.
How much of last year was physical or delivery, and how much of it was just all the upheaval and moving teams and kind of the mental side of things?
I think it's like a combination. Yeah, I can't really just put my finger on one thing, and I'm not an excuse maker either. You know, I just didn't perform well. So at the end of the day, you know, you want to play in this league, you got to continue to show that you can perform well. So that's, you know, number one thing on my mind this year. Go out, take the ball, and throw some really quality innings for this organization.
Alex Cora was saying today that he can see a little bit of renewed life on your fastball, even thinking back to what he saw from a year ago. Are you feeling that a little bit more velo, a little bit more ride on the fastball, and what's gotten you to that point, if that's the case?
Yeah, I'd say it's the adjustments made in the off season. You know, working on my timing sequencing. One thing I'm excited about is I feel like my ability to hide the baseballs back. I'm sure you guys have seen Cutter throw a lot over the last year. You know, we have similar type of delivery. I was just watching his live BP today, and you know, he hides that ball and just gets on you. I feel like last season, maybe even the last couple seasons, I was kind of getting away from that a little bit, getting a little too long. So I'm excited about that. And then, yeah, the velo's up right now, which is always a good sign.
This was your first foray into free agency. What was surprising about the process? Was it exciting? Was it stressful? Or how would you characterize that whole kind of ride?
I'd say for me it was kind of weird because, you know, you work so hard. You know, when you start playing baseball as a kid, you know, you want to play pro ball, you get into pro ball, and then it takes so long to become a free agent. Yeah. Not very many players are fortunate enough to reach that point in their career. I'm very thankful for that, but I kind of went into it not really like excited, not really super pumped about it because I was coming off of such a down year. So, you know, it was kind of like question marks. Oh, you know, what's going to happen? How's this going to work out? Luckily, early on, met with the Red Sox and they showed their belief in me. And I really bought into, you know, everything that they have going on here. And, yeah, it was a perfect match. We were able to get the deal done, and, yeah, I'm very excited.
Was it important to you to get the deal done kind of earlier than later? I mean, you see some of the guys, the top Snell, Montgomery, those guys that are still out there. And then at the end, did it come down to the Red Sox and a couple other teams, or was it them kind of far and away the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, other teams were in the mix, but at the end of the day, I was happy that we were able to land here. And then, yeah, the other side of it, too, I am thankful that we're able to get the deal done relatively early. I was able to get acclimated and start to build relationships with everybody over here before I even arrived to camp. You know, being in that position where you're kind of sitting and waiting around when spring training's already going, I feel can, you know, bring a little bit of anxiety.
One of the things I think that attracted them to you is your history of being a guy who can provide innings and quality innings. That was an issue here last year. They didn't have a lot of guys that would routinely get beyond five. How much of that is a mentality for you, and how much pride do you take in being that guy that's going to provide 180 plus innings in when you're healthy?
Yeah, my goal every year, I set one goal for myself when it comes to the season. I'm not like over here saying, oh, I want to have under this ERA, I want to have this many strikeouts. My goal every year is to throw 200 innings. I haven't achieved that yet. I hope to this year. Last year was the closest I've gotten. That's something that I learned from veterans before me, especially James Shields, when he was my teammate with the White Sox. He was at the tail end of his career. I was right at the beginning of my career. He took me under his wing and stressed to me the importance of making starts for the team, taking the ball, even if you're not feeling your best, finding a way to get out. Sometimes you have to get creative, you know, sometimes you have to push through things, but, you know, that's the nature of the job. We get paid a lot of money to do this. So I find it extremely important to make sure that you go out there, you take the ball every 5-6 days, whatever it may be, and provide quality innings. Because, you know, I'm friends with a lot of relievers. I'm sure I'm going to develop good friendships with the relievers on this club. Those guys, I think, do not get enough credit for what they have to go through in a season. You know, being prepared to pitch every single day, going back to back, it really takes its toll. So it's our job as starting pitchers to go as deep as we can, you know, relieve some of that pressure off of those guys. You know, I think a huge part of that is developing a good routine. You know, I've had a lot of time to, you know, develop, you know, what am I doing each day to prepare myself and stay healthy and feel that I'm at my best so I can go and compete.
Some of that is being a little more efficient, particularly earlier in the game, not using as many pitches, keeping the pitch count in check. But I would imagine some of it is mental, that you learn, as you said, to kind of gut through some of those tough times, to push yourself, to extend yourself. Have you found that to be true? And is that something that you can maybe help some of the younger guys here to learn that bulldog approach?
Yeah, I hope so. I think that's something that comes with experience for sure. You know, I've had my share of tough times recently and early in my career. But at the end of the day, you know, if you want it bad enough, then you continue to work. You know, you continue to develop the right kind of mindset. Maintaining confidence throughout the season, no matter what the numbers say or how the team's doing, is hugely important. So, yeah, I mean, there's a number of factors, and I do hope to, you know, kind of impart that stuff on some of these guys. I see a lot of talented young pitchers in this clubhouse. So, you know, I'm always going to make myself available. I pride myself on being a good teammate. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing all of us work together well.
Who has stood out to you from that young group, and what's exciting about the young pitching here?
It's hard to put a finger. I've been throwing on the same day as Bayo. I love his energy. You know, I'm like, is he 24, 25, or is he 15? You know, he's bouncing all over the place. He's got a very positive mindset. And then, you know, watching his stuff, like, really good sinker. You know, Tanner too, you know, is kind of like compared like the righty version of Chris Sale. You know, throwing like 97 mile an hour bowling balls in his live BPs. Yeah, I just think that, you know, I already talked about Cutter and what he can do. So, yeah, I think in general we have a lot of unique arms, and, you know, having those guys all back-to-back, it can kind of screw with the opposing lineup. So, you know, it's just making sure that, you know, we're all in our routine. We're all pulling for each other. I think it's important that in a clubhouse in general, the team, you got to love each other, you got to be playing for each other, and then kind of like you break it up into the sections, right? The starting pitchers, like we got to be that tight-knit group, and I hope to you know, promote that well along with Pavetta, another one of the veteran guys. So yeah, I think we have some stuff in store, and yeah, it's all about just coming together and going out and pitching as well as we can.
For you, you know, I think big picture, the theme and what fans are saying is they thought the Red Sox were going to do more over the offseason, add a lot more. So I'm sure you saw Rafi's comments the other day wanting that. As the premier kind of addition of the offseason, does that put a chip on your shoulder? Like, hey, guys, you know, you guys got me. Or is that not part of it? And do you hope that there's more kind of reinforcements made?
I think that you could always use more reinforcements, right? There's still a lot of guys on the board. You know, there's a lot of moves to be made. So, you know, it's kind of above my pay grade. I just got here, right? Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But at the same time, like, if this is what we got, I'm confident in this group. I'm confident being one of the leaders of this group. Absolutely.
You talked about that brotherhood maybe that exists among starters, and then there's relievers and position players. But one of the things that the team really wanted to foster here was a renewed sense of competition, even in drills or PFP or whatever it is that you're doing to get ready for the season. It does seem a little more high energy. It does seem as if there is that that's being used to push you guys. Do you feel that in this camp? Have they achieved that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never been in more competitive PFP in my entire life. Maybe high school a little bit, but you know, high school is a little different. It's like competition everywhere. You know, we got the game set up in the clubhouse. I just played a little match to 11 on the badminton thing against Pavetta. We're swearing at each other. But yeah, I mean, I think that's important. You know, coming off of a down season or a couple down seasons for the club in general, you know, promoting competition, I think that guys are going to like reach, you know, the next level if they're always competing. If you're complacent, that's when things can kind of stagnate. So, you know, having that, you know, high level of energy and drive and everything we're doing, not just, oh, I'm throwing my bullpen today, I'm really going to focus on this. But then when we get to PFPs, it's whatever. No, that's right now it seems very, very focused. And that's, I think, a good way to get the team together and for guys to continue to develop and get better in many areas.
We're going to get to this, but a lot of Hollywood ties in your family. That's been well documented. How has it been having, as we record this 5 feet from us, the Netflix crew around? And has it been, you know, like, are you starting not to notice the constant presence, or how has it been compared to what you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. I think it's been fun. I'm excited for the finished product. Obviously, we have a long way to go, and I think that it's going to do a lot of good things for baseball. You know, get a lot of eyes on it. But so far, I think that everybody's kind of getting used to it. And I think the more that these guys are around and, you know, all the crew, you know, they're sitting right behind you guys. Like, I think that they'll over time kind of become part of the team as well. And, you know, just kind of add to what we're trying to create here. So, yeah, I think it's been pretty fun. Yeah, other than that, excited to see how it all turns out in the end.
Do you think you're going to be one of the stars of the show, or is it just going to be Tristan Casas and 25 bit actors next to him?
Yeah, I, you know what, I feel like everybody's kind of getting a little bit of content here and there, and it's still very early, so we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, I can see Casas for sure being one of the stars. I'm just starting to get to know him, but yeah, he's got a great personality.
Chris referenced the Hollywood angle to your background. For those who are unfamiliar, your grandfather was the actor Warren Frost on Seinfeld. Your uncle, I believe, is Mark Frost. Is that correct? Co-creator of Twin Peaks along with David Lynch. So there's some good street cred there. Chris and I are both huge Seinfeld fans, so I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but you were very young when Seinfeld began. In fact, you weren't born when Seinfeld began, but obviously your granddad, who passed, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, you must have had conversations about that experience. What can you share about his time on the show and his experiences there?
You know what? Honestly, I wish I had a better answer for you. I don't think I ever talked to him about Seinfeld specifically. When I would go over and spend time with my grandparents, I didn't have very many acting questions because most of my acting questions would be directed to my mom on a daily basis. I think that I wasn't even aware of how like illustrious of a career he had until much later in life. And at that point, communicating with him was a bit harder. So, yeah, you know, if I were to go back, I would ask a lot more questions. Especially, I'm a huge Larry David fan. I'm a big Curb fan, so I definitely would have asked a billion questions about what it was like being on set with Larry David. But yeah, I mean, overall, it is pretty cool. I mean, you know, I've talked a lot about, you know, my family, and it's a lot different than what I do for a living, but there are certain similarities. You know, it's still a performance type activity. And so there are things I've been able to pick up from, you know, my family members, especially my mother, over the years, for sure.
Even if you didn't discuss a lot with it, is there a favorite episode starring your grandfather among the Seinfeld episodes that you get a particular kick out of? It, the Cheever letters? What's your fave?
Cabin. Yeah.
Do you cherish it?
Huh?
Do you cherish it?
Is that, so I haven't seen it in a minute. Are you doing it?
His catchphrase about the cabin is cherish the cabin. That's what his father told him when it was bequeathed to him. So that's one of the catchphrases that comes up.
Yeah, I definitely need to go back and rewatch them all. I remember I must have been in the minor leagues, and one of my roommates was watching Seinfeld. It's like, oh yeah, my grandfather was on this show. We went through and watched the episodes, but yeah, I should brush up on that for sure.
That's Lucas Giolito, first time on the Fenway Rundown. We very much appreciate it. Thanks again to Lucas Giolito for joining the Fenway Rundown today. Hopefully we'll have a couple more player guests before our first tour down here in Fort Myers is up next week. Again, plenty of coverage coming on the site all day, every day, as well as the podcast and the Fenway Rundown Insider text. A good example of that, yesterday I had a conversation with Brian Bayo in the clubhouse. He told me they were closing in or getting somewhere on an extension. First place I put that was in the Fenway Rundown Insider text, Sean.
Yeah, and it's easy to join, Chris. All you have to do is text the word join to 617-751-6257. Click the link to subscribe. It's really simple. You get 14-day trial period to check it out. We think you'll like it. And after that, it's just $4.99 a month.
This has been the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live.